With me to the Psalms, Psalm 119, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, Psalm 119. Begin reading in verse number 1. And this is quite a psalm if you read through it in all these verses. You're going to read about the Word of God and the ways of God. And what a blessed book it is and a blessed chapter in this precious Bible. The Bible says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with the uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. This morning I want to preach on this thought. Which way should I go? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask You to have Your way in our service. Help us, Lord, to honor You. Help me to preach the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that this morning that we would hear from heaven. Lord, I can't do this in my own self, in my own strength. It wouldn't amount to anything. So, Lord, I'm asking You, Lord, to somehow, Lord, use me in a way, Lord, that others will hear from Thee. Help those that are here today without Christ as Savior. I pray that this would be the day they come to trust You. For those of us that are saved, I pray that today we'd go out of here with greater dedication to Thee. Lord, help us, O Father, to be obedient. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We live in a world where it seems like everybody's wondering what to do. I think there's no doubt there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of people just looking for direction. People have no idea which way to go. People are turning everywhere. Some are turning to drugs. Some are turning to alcohol. Some are turning to credit. Some are turning to all kinds of things to find happiness and to try to find their way. But so many are walking around aimlessly and wandering about with no direction for life. I think you and I could probably think of a few people right now that seem to be in that very place in their life where they have no clue what to do, no idea about tomorrow, and no promise for the future. They may have some of the world's goods and they may be driving a fine automobile, but you can look at them and you can see there is nothing in their life that's going to last. I tell you, dear friends, the Bible tells us there's a way that we ought to go. The Bible also says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof, the ways of death or the ways of destruction, if you will. In this psalm, Psalm 119, you're going to find the word way or ways used 18 times. You're going to find pure direction for your life if you read through this psalm and find some of the wonderful things that it says. Even in the text that we've read this morning, I want you to see it talks about those that are undefiled in the way. Then it talks about those that walk in His ways. And then it talks in verse number 5, our text verse, that my ways. Our way needs to be His way. Or His way needs to be our way, if you will. But when we look around and we see everybody going in all these different directions, we ask the question, which way should I go? This morning we're going to look at a few different things. And hopefully when we come to the end, you'll have made up your mind that you're going to go the right way. There's a lot of different directions, and boy, the list could go on and on and on. I'm just going to give you three thoughts this morning, though. There's the way of Cain. And I want you to look with me, if you will, in the New Testament to the book of Jude. Jude, It is the vestibule, if you will, to the book of the Revelation. So if you go to the last book and you find that one little book right before the book of Revelation, some people call it the front porch of Revelation. It's one chapter. And I want you to notice what the Bible says in Jude, verse number 8. The Bible says, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. When we see this, we see three people mentioned. We see Cain and Balaam and Korah. There's a lot of people that are following after these ways. I want you to notice what the Bible says in talking about these. It says that they're filthy dreamers and they defile the flesh. They despise dominion and they speak evil of dignities. It talks about Michael the archangel. When it came to a challenge between him and the devil, he realized that even he, as the archangel of God, did not have the power to rebuke the devil. He says, the Lord rebuke thee. The Bible goes on and says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts. They're called brute beasts. Think about that. And those things, they corrupt themselves. And then the Bible helps us to understand who these people are. It is people that have gone after the way of Cain, greedily after the heir of Balaam, for a reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. We see people like this all around the world today. When we think about people that are going after the way of Cain, they're trying to go to heaven without the blood. They're trying to live by their own works. If you'll remember the story of Cain and Abel, Abel was righteous before God because Abel took that offering and gave it to God, which came from God. But Cain went out and sacrificed the blood of animals, and he did all these things through the works of his hands. Cain went out and did all these things, the works of his hands, and he tried to get to God through the works of his life. And I want you to know there's a lot of people that thinks they're going to go to heaven today because of the work that they've done, because of charity that they've given to, because of being this or being that or being a good neighbor. But you are making the same error that Cain made, and you're going the way of Cain. There's only one way to the Lord. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us. And he groups these people, God groups all these people together, these filthy dreamers, these brute beasts that despise dominion, speak evil of dignities, these that corrupt themselves. He says they've gone in the way of Cain, the way of redemption without the blood. But he also puts in these people are gone greedily after the heir of Balaam. Think about that. Only to please men and to gain reward or gain the applause of men. There's a lot of people that live this life to try to impress everybody else around them. When it comes down to the end of the way, I want you to know the only one that matters is what God thinks of you. We need to realize that. Of course, we know that Balaam was a prophet for hire. Balaam was one that they could go and they said, we want you to do this. And he would even argue for God. But when enough money came out and enough pressure came out, he folded under the pressure. The way of Cain is the wicked way. It's a wrong way. It's a way that's going to get you in trouble. There's a lot of people that think, well, I give all this and I do all this and I give all this to charity and I give all this time and effort. Look, it's not about that. Are you doing with your life what God wants you to do? Are you living your life for the Lord? The psalmist said back in Psalm 119, I want you to look at that verse number 5 again, if you will, and I want you to see exactly what it says. It says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, thy word. That's the way, the direction we need to go, the way that helps us to keep God's word in the right place. Balaam was one of those that he could give you some of God's word, but he'd also give you what you wanted. Now, wouldn't you rather have a preacher that's going to tell you the truth? Wouldn't you rather have somebody that loves you enough to say, this is the truth of the matter? Truth and love, I agree with that. But the truth is today that there's a lot of people that's going the way of Cain. They're going after a Christless religion. They're going after a bloodless salvation. I'm going to tell you, there is no remission without the blood, without the shedding of blood. Christ had to die on the cross. Or they're trying to find a church that'll fit what, you know, just what'll make them feel good about themselves instead of finding a place that's going to tell them the truth. Boy, by the way, you can find all kinds of churches that's going to make you feel good about yourself. Churches that'll not preach about sin. Or if they do preach about sin, they'll tell you that the only way to get away from it is working your way out of it. Then it talks about this gainsaying of Korah, which means no respect for the authority that God puts in our lives. And we need to realize this. These are the ways that we shouldn't go. We need to follow the right kind of leadership. And by the way, the right leadership is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know God chooses men to be pastors, and you follow those as God leads them. But I think he ought to prove himself, right? And you follow him as he proves the leadership of God in his life. The way of Cain. Another way that people are going is the way of the crowd. You know, it's easy to give in to peer pressure, isn't it? Just to follow what everybody else is doing. That's what a lot of churches are doing. They're just following what seems to work. They're going to the corporations of the world and they're finding the corporations that are doing things and having success. I didn't think success was the goal. I thought God was the goal. When God is the goal, I'm going to tell you, He'll pour out His blessings. This isn't a business. This is a church. We don't run it like a business. We run it following after God. He's not the CEO. He's God. He's the head. He's Christ. He's the head of the church. And so many people have put him up like some kind of a CEO, you know, and made it some kind of a corporation or some kind of a business. You can't run this because this is something that has to go by faith and not by sight. I believe a business, many times, you have to go by sight. If you're a Christian, you can go by faith as God guides you. But you've got to see some things out there. We understand that. But there's a lot of people that's going the way of the crowd. They just follow the crowd. Whatever the crowd does, that's what we're going to do. And boy, it's going to get all of us in trouble. If we do that in our lives, it will get you in trouble. It'll get me in trouble. It doesn't matter who we are. Christians and unbelievers alike can get in trouble just by following the way of the crowd. There's all kinds of crowds in this world. I'm going to look at two or three of them this morning, but there's all kinds of crowds in this world. One, there's a dying crowd. And if you'll look with me, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 15. Mark chapter number 15, and we'll see together what the Bible says. And of course, the Lord Jesus is here, and he's standing before Pilate. A dying crowd is a crowd that denies the Lord. And that's exactly what we find here. There's a crowd of people that are crying out, release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 12 of Mark chapter 15, and Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews? And they, this crowd, cried out, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. There's a crowd out there that are always denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so easy to give in to the peer pressure of this world, especially if teenagers will listen to me. I want you to understand, if there's somebody that denies the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not need to be a part of that crowd. And if there's people where you work at, ladies and gentlemen, that denies the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not need to be a part of that crowd. We have got to come to an understanding of this. We cannot go the way of the crowd. If there's a group of business people that are getting ready to go out at lunch and you know that they're going to go out and they're going to make a mockery of the things of God, you don't need to be a part of that. That's a dying crowd and they're going to They're going to lure you in, and while you can't lose your salvation and heaven's going to be your home, you'll lose your testimony. People in the company that I used to work for openly denied the Lord. People that were living in sin. You could witness to them, but I wouldn't go to lunch with them. I wouldn't hang around with them. They wouldn't be what you would say my friends that I would run around with. I cared about a lot of them. Certainly I did. And they came to an understanding that I wouldn't go where they went simply because I didn't believe what they believed. I didn't want to sit and make a mockery of the things of God. Most of the time, 95% of the time, they would never say anything against God or make fun of God when I was around simply because I learned to have some boldness, and I'd say, look, we don't talk like that. Now, I was including them in that we. They didn't ask to be, but I just said, I'm not going to hang around this. And I tell you, if you'll take your stand for the Lord and not go the way of this dying crowd, this crowd that denies the Lord, take your stand and say, I care for you. I don't wish any ill towards you, but I can't be a part of your crowd. We're going to have to learn this. That's a lot of people, though, they just go the way of the crowd. There's this dying crowd, and then there's a deceitful crowd. And we have to be careful about this. We have to be so careful. There's a crowd that says there's something that they're not. That's why we need the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want you to look with me, if you will, in the New Testament to the Gospel of John. Chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And I want to show you something. The Gospel of John and chapter number 6. And then I'm going to read another verse to you in just a moment. But in John chapter number 6, notice what the Bible says in verse number 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. And who should betray him? And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 19, the Bible says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out. That they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. We're talking about here people that followed the Lord Jesus, but they weren't true believers. Say, how in the world can you know if somebody's a true believer? Do they believe that the Bible is the Word of God? They weren't willing to believe what the Bible said and what the Bible taught. There is a deceitful crowd. There's a religious crowd that's out there that will try to draw you in. But I'm telling you, dear friends, if they compromise the Word of God in one little bit, you need to be careful of that crowd. The churches that are prospering and the churches that are going across America are churches that will not take a stand against sin, and they will not tell people about hell, and it seems like people are flocking to those churches, but that is a deceitful crowd, and from that church pew, there are going to be thousands and thousands of people die and go to hell because nobody would tell them the truth. That's why we ought to be the right kind of crowd. Don't be part of that deceitful crowd. Every preacher that I have in here, I believe with all of my heart, is going to be a preacher that's going to preach the truth of God's Word. I've always told you, if somebody comes in and they say something that doesn't sound right, don't say anything negative. I'll just take care of it the next service and we'll get over it. I've only had that happen once or twice in my ministry. People come in and said something that I just thought, it's not right, but it wasn't something doctrinal. It was usually a personal opinion. You understand what I'm saying? But there is a deceitful crowd that's out there. And I'm going to tell you, this deceitful crowd is going to try to lure you in. And they're going to try to make you say, why don't you come to a church like ours? We'll always make you feel good about yourself. But we ought never feel good when we have sin in our lives. We'll welcome you and you can just come in and join right up. The difference between that and a church like ours is here you have to give a testimony that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Willing to follow the Lord Jesus in believer's baptism. Why do we do such things? Well, we have to have an evidence because we believe the Bible teaches us in a saved church membership. To be a part of this local church, you have to give an evidence that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, how do you know Christ is your Savior? You believe that He died on the cross, that He was buried, and that He rose again. And you put your faith and belief in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. By faith, you trust Christ and Christ alone. And then you pray and ask Jesus Christ to save you upon your belief in Him. And when you do that, heaven's going to be your home. Then why do you have to be baptized? Well, you identify, first of all, with the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you also identify with the body of doctrine of this church. This is an identification mark. They talk about the baptism of Moses. That identified them with Moses. But they had to go ahead and get baptized also to be identified with the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not identified with Moses because we're under grace. We're not under the law. We get baptized and we have a body of doctrine. As a Baptist church, we have a body of doctrine. But the deceitful crowd will say, well, just come on in. And you know, it doesn't matter what you really believe. But dear friends, we need you to understand that when you become a part of this church, then we have a responsibility to teach you the truth, and then we're wanting to get you to where you can teach others. And when you're teaching others, we want you to teach them the truth. That's why we're so strict about things like this. But there's a deceitful crowd out there that just say, well, come on. Well, you'll be all right. There's a deceitful crowd out there, by the way, that'll act like they're one thing and they're not. They'll go to church on Sunday and they'll, you know, I remember I got saved when I was 18. Didn't date much before. Didn't date much after either. Everybody I dated was from out of state. None of the girls around there wanted to date me. But anyway, I courted two girls from Alabama and one girl from Florida. How about that? And I'm a Tennessee volunteer. That's just sickening, isn't it? But my wife passed the test. I had to make sure that her dad liked the volunteers. And when I found out he did, then I knew she was all right. I could marry her. But anyway, I remember thinking about dating somebody and people, or courting, I don't know, I don't think dating's the right word, courting. I remember thinking about that. And even girls in the church that I was in, I found out I can't go out with them because they say they're one thing, but their life proves they're something different. They can get up and give a testimony in church. But then when you see them out, you see that they're deceptive. Then I began working. And in that job, there were people who said, oh yeah, I'm saved. I'm a Christian, you know. It's great. But then I began to find out. They said they were something. But their life says, no, they're not. And I couldn't be a part of all that. There's a deceitful crowd out there that's trying to deceive you. By the way, the greatest deceiver in the world is the devil. And he's going to try to lure you in. That's why you have to be careful about the crowd you run with. You're going to have to make a choice. Which way should you go? The way of Cain is a terrible way. The way of these two crowds are a terrible way. But there's another crowd I want us to look at. That's a dedicated crowd. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1, let's read together and we see a dedicated crowd. And by the way, this is the kind of crowd that I think we all want to be a part of and all want to see. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 12, we find a crowd that's dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. We find a crowd here that's dedicated to the things of God. We find a crowd here that just saw the Lord Jesus. Some of these just saw the Lord Jesus ascend into heaven out of their sight. We saw a lot of people mocking and making fun. Christ is being crucified. We have to realize that they had brought a lot of the destruction upon the things of God and on people of God, and people were against the Lord Jesus Christ. But here was a group of people that said, we're going to stand for Christ. We're going to take our stand and we're going to meet together, and we're going to be the kind of crowd that the Lord would have us to be. And from this crowd of people, I want you to know, we see the empowerment of the New Testament church. We see that the church, which started with Christ and His disciples, was empowered on the day of Pentecost in chapter number 2, started right here. This empowerment started right here with these people because they were dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord used these people to get the gospel to us in America today. Through what happened through these people, there was a dedicated crowd that said, we're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not matter what the world may say. It does not matter what persecution may come. We're taking our stand for the Lord. And that's the way we ought to go. You talk about positive peer pressure. Well, we always hear about peer pressure and we look at it in the negative connotation. But I think what we need to do is we need to gather around ourselves some people that will help us to live right and to serve the Lord the way that we ought to. We ought to be a part of a church that when we miss the house of God, that somebody will call and say, where are you at? We miss you, we love you, we care about you. Not calling to blast them out of the water, but calling to say, we want you to be back with us. We sure didn't miss you. Or when you're out and you're getting ready to do something wrong, or you're getting ready to act the wrong way, somebody will say, now look, we got to keep our testimony. That's a dedicated crowd, isn't it? Don't we need to be around people like that? We need positive peer pressure. I remember growing up, all I ever heard about was peer pressure in the negative sense. But I found a group of friends in my life, especially early in my Christian life. And when I was around them, I'm going to tell you what they would do. We would encourage each other in the Lord to do the right thing. I'll never forget, we would leave each other and say, hey, let's pray about this. Let's study about this. Boy, it's exciting to think about that. There were people that wanted to be dedicated to the Lord. And though in my early days, I found people like that. There was just a handful. But I found out when I was with those people, I was walking close to the Lord. Because if I had an inkling just to get out, I'd start thinking about them and how disappointed they may be. And I had a mom and dad that loved me. Great crowd to be a part of is a mom and a dad that loves the Lord and that loves you. I'll never forget thinking about, boy, they sure would be disappointed in me if I did some of these things. I've told you, I've never drank alcohol. I smoked very few times. The only lady I've ever been with in an intimate way is my wife. You want to know why? Because I was around a crowd of people that was dedicated to the Lord. I had parents that loved the Lord, and I thought, I don't want to disappoint them. Have I done everything right? I'm so glad you don't know everything about me. Because those of you that love me probably wouldn't love me as much. And those of you that are trying to figure out if you like me or not, you just decide you probably wouldn't like me. It was hard. I think I finally got my father-in-law where he cares about me a little bit. I used to be my mother-in-law's son. My mother-in-law, he'd say, this is my wife's son-in-law for years. So when I got to pastor in the church and I introduced them, they'd come to our church and sing, you know what I'd say? This is my mother-in-law's husband. We had some fun. Greatest thing that ever happens to a relationship is grandchildren, you know. In-laws love you after grandchildren. That's just how it is. It took me forever to get my mom and dad like Jody, but this is her birthday. I've got to be nice to her. She don't look a day older. Sometimes I look at her and I think she looks just the same as she did when we met. And then I see pictures and I realize we both changed a lot, you know. But she seems to keep her youth. I got saved. I was 18. Started running through the right crowd. I met my wife at the right kind of place in church. Then I started thinking, boy, how disappointed she'd be. We weren't married yet, but we were courting long distance. And I thought, that's the kind of crowd. You see, there's a crowd. It's all right to be a part of. I believe your family ought to be the right kind of crowd if they're saved. And I think you ought to find your local church to be the right kind of crowd, somebody that you want to be around that'll help and encourage you. And by the way, that's why we need to be encouraging to one another all the time. But then I want you to see thirdly today, there's the way of Cain, there's the way of the crowd, and then there's the way of the cross. And this is the way that we all have to go if we're going to meet Jesus in heaven someday. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14, just after the Lord Jesus has given this declaration that there's going to be somebody that betrays him, talking about Judas, and there's going to be somebody that denies him, talking about Peter. Think about that. Two that have followed the Lord. Two that have followed the Lord closely. Two that were part of a crowd. Now, one that was part of the crowd, the Lord Jesus knew was going to betray him all the time. Of course, he knew Peter would deny him all the time. But he knew that Judas was never really a part of him. So he was deceptive, wasn't he? But he had just said, one of you is going to betray me, and it's he who takes a sop with me. And that was, of course, Judas. And then he looked at Peter and said, Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter said, there's no way I will deny you. I'll die for you. I can imagine Peter. I'll take a stand for you. I'll be right there by your side. I mean, Peter was a fisherman, rough and tough, and he was somebody strong and bold. And Jesus said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. These followers of the Lord had just heard all these things, and they're thinking, Jesus has said, I've got to go away. Jesus says that one of us is going to betray him. Jesus says that Peter's going to deny us. Their hearts began to sink. I'm telling you, they were destroyed. They began to think how terrible and how awful and how tragic all these things are. And they were so saddened. But then the chapter 14 comes, which is a man-made division of a chapter. Chapter 13 could continue into chapter number 14. After the Lord Jesus said all these things, I'm going to go away. Judas is going to betray me. Peter's going to deny me. Their hearts were crushed. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. There's only one way. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Here it is. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but the way of Christ and the way of the cross. So if the question is asked today, which way should I go? You must be sure that you're going by way of the cross. Not by way of church membership. Not by way of water baptism. Not by way of good deeds, good works, being a good neighbor. Not by way of charitable contributions. But that you're going by way of the cross. By the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you know that Christ is your Savior and heaven is going to be your home. And when you get that settled, then you find a dedicated crowd to be a part of. And you avoid the deceitful crowd and the denying, dying crowd. Don't go the way of Cain. If you go by way of the cross, you can't go by way of Cain because the way of Cain is a works-based. Faith doesn't work. Don't be one of those that can be bought out, that can be lured into another church because of what they offer. So many times we have people come into this church and say, well, what do you offer young people? I'll tell you something. What we offer is we offer the truth. It's not about the fun and the games, and we have a lot of that. The parents are doing their children an injustice by trying to go to a church where they have their fun zones and all their big, you know, let's go out on Wednesday nights and we'll play volleyball and I'll give you a 5-minute devotion. It's a tragic thing. I believe that's the way of Balaam. They're giving you what you want. The way of Korah. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Follow the leadership that God places in your life. Which way should I go? You have something to decide today. If you've not been by way of the cross, then today you need to decide, I'm going to go by the way of the cross. If you've been by way of the cross, you need to look and say, what am I running with? Who am I running with? Am I going with the right crowd? You may work in a job where there's no other Christians. You better be careful. You can still live for the Lord and serve the Lord in the job that you work in. It doesn't mean you have to go out with them to their places of recreation. It doesn't mean you have to run around with them. Just be careful about this. The greatest thing you can do is go the right way. The Bible says, oh, that my ways. Look with me, if you will, Psalm 119. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. My ways. In that few 8 verses, we see the way. That's who those who walk in the law of the Lord. We see his ways. And we see the psalmist saying, oh, that my ways were directed to walk in thy statutes. Which way should I go? The truth is, it's his way or it's no way. Let's go his way. Father, we thank you for your love. I ask you, Lord, to help us in this time of invitation to make the right decisions, to be obedient. Help us, Lord, to determine to be the right kind of person that people...